back to the hard line. Enter at your own risk.
Welcome back to the Hard Line. 5-9 the Fan. Kevin S. 5-9thefan.com. I am TJ Moe. We'll be here until 3 o'clock. Another few minutes. David Solomon joining me. We're going to have Cam Jansen on the phone here very shortly. But first, we want to read a few text messages that you guys sent us. We didn't get to last segment. So you're there.
Yeah. 855-282-8255. Don Jewish says, the Cardinals got to go nuts already. Trade for Goldschmidt first, then go after Harper.
I am all for trading whatever it takes to get Goldschmidt at this point, and don't go nutty, but I'm fine with giving up some real prospects because he's the type of guy I think you could keep here.
This is where having a great internal evaluation of your own system comes into play. It's kind of like a game of poker. You've got to know which one of your prospects are expendable. I mean, you might be still giving up a very good one and a good player, but knowing who's got the lowest ceiling and maybe a couple things, whether it be work ethic, off the field, medical that's beyond what would have to be released in a physical, you really have to know who's on the right track and who's going to be the next Zach Cox who flames out in the upper minors.
Who, this is interesting, and I would not do it, but curious what you think on this. Coming off injury here, would you even entertain the idea of giving up Reyes?
Entertain? Absolutely. He's had two major injuries in 2 years. Sometimes you have to give something up to get something. There's a reason guys are labeled, and even if he's not technically a rookie, a prospect rather than a bona fide player.
Mm-hmm. For Goldschmidt, that may be what they want.
Well, that's where you have to look at your organization. Now, would I give up Reyes and Flaherty and another potential ace? No, but when you're dealing from a position with depth, I mean, you saw the Cardinals were able to go 88-74 without Carlos Martinez in the rotation for a good chunk of the season, without Michael Wacha in the second half. You couldn't have even counted on Adam Wainwright to begin with. But with all the injuries they had and what they were able to achieve and with younger pitchers only getting better, I would take that risk if it was Alex Reyes was the biggest name that you would have to get up for Goldschmidt.
Would you go Reyes, Bader, and Hudson?
That would be tough looking at it just from a hot stove perspective. I would think that the Diamondbacks might not want all three major league ready guys all included in that deal. And you're looking at someone like Goldschmidt who is a first baseman. And you've got to keep in mind, too, 2019, that's his walk year. So for a rental, that's a very steep price unless you can get Goldschmidt to agree to a contract extension.
The question is do you take the risk that he would do it? And I know the Jason Hayward thing freaks you out, but you have a lot of evidence on the other side that says you can do it, and he may be the outlier instead of the new norm.
It's a different era. It's a different era than it was, you know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, where you get the guy into St. Louis, you throw some money at him, he says, oh, these are the best fans in baseball, I love it here, I'm going to sign a long-term extension and maybe take a couple million dollars below market value. I mean, I could be wrong. I don't know Paul Goldschmidt personally. You know, maybe I've stuck a microphone in his face, but I've never specifically interviewed him at length that I can remember.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know exactly what moves him or whether his personality would lend itself to it. Now, the good news, at least in a certain extent, is he's not a Boris client. So
my one of my friends' sister's married to him, actually. So I'll ask him what he thinks. And, yeah, weird connection there, but he actually...
Exactly. Then why are you asking me, TJ?
Yeah.
Get us the scoop. We want the scoop here.
I've never talked to him. I do have a friend whose sister is married to him. But I will tell you, I get you. Like, everybody keeps saying, new era, Jason Hayward, look. Do we have any evidence outside of it happening one time? Like, maybe it's not.
I'm not speaking, though, just for the Cardinals and their way. I'm just talking about baseball in general. About when guys
did everybody used to be able to do that, though? Or was that more of a Cardinal thing?
To an extent, it was kind of a Cardinals thing, but it was more likely that guys, you didn't see as many guys leaving green pastures, per se, for hopes of something greener.
No.
And then even more so nowadays, sometimes the gambles don't pay off.
Right.
But we've got a few more weighing in here. 855-282-8255. Gibby says, Ozuna was a liability feeling, and he had a rag arm. Gold glove, That's a joke. Honestly, if you've studied the Gold Glove Award over the years, there have been several jokes. I mean, none more so than one year when Rafael Palmeiro won a Gold Glove despite spending most of the year at designated hitter. Mike Hunt, Harper was benched this year for not running out ground balls. How about we get nobody? Splashback Deuce. Glad Ozuna will be repaired. Watching him throw made my shoulder hurt, but not, how the heck is something like that not caught before completing a trade?
Yeah, that's a good point, but they probably knew about it, is my guess.
They probably knew about
it, bad.
Or he aggravated it, or it was a result of maybe less than ideal training regimen in the offseason, hence when we heard in the last segment John Mozeliak's comments about rehabbing and taking care, why they were so pointed. And then Larry the Cam Girl adds, and when you throw Michaelis in there, no one would match up with the top four in the Cardinals rotation.
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't even name Michaelis. There is a and that's assuming he's going to come back and be the same guy, which is no guarantee coming over from Japan. But boy, was he good last year, and it does not look like what he brings is that's not the type of pitching that you'd expect regression, right? He locates everything so well. You typically don't just lose that year to year. I think we're getting Cam Jansen on the phone here. Very shortly, we're going to talk some St. Louis Blues. Cam and the Cam Jansen Show starts at 6 p.m. Do not miss that. Cam is joining us now. Hi, Cam.
What up, guys?
What's going on?
Hey, your boys play tomorrow. Some news today. Your boy Jerabek that we said was not very good, but you'd play him before Jay Bomeister. He cleared waivers, and he's back down in San Antonio.
You know, and I was talking about this last night. Jabo didn't play that bad last game, and if he's turning in the right direction, I'll give him another chance and see where he's at. I still don't like the top pairing of him on it.
No.
But then again, everything else is still you got Porrico and you got Eddie. That's a strong duo, and then you got the two kids with Schmaltzy and Dunner, and those guys are playing well together. So if Petro's got to kind of take on Jabo and hopefully help him trend in the right direction, then I'll give him another shot. The Jerabek thing, I kind of figured that he would get sent down and he would clear. And if we're ready for him, then let him go play 20 minutes down there, and then he'll be ready to rock when we call him up.
Bomeister was the worst player on the team through the first month here. This really wasn't a good October. Defensively, they were about as bad as you could have imagined. They allowed three or more goals in 9 of the first 10 games of the season. That is not going to play. And is there any reason for us to believe that that's just going to turn around after game 10?
Well, yeah, because you got the guys to do it. I mean, they've done it in the past. I mean, you've seen where Dunner's at. He's taking his game to another level. Jordan Schmaltz has taken his game to another level. Yeah, they were terrible, but the big guys were terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Like Petro was terrible. You think Petro's going to play like this the whole year?
Sure,
I doubt it.
Yeah.
I doubt it. Now, is Jabo going to be so much better to where those guys are going to be a two dominant force together? No, I don't think so. But as long as they compliment, he gets log some minutes and maybe get some penalty kill minutes, which he actually has not been very good at either. But I'd rather him block some shots than, you know how it goes. And Joel Edmondson or Petro going in there. But you have to have Petro going and log a lot of minutes on that PK because he's really, really good at it. So, look, it's a tough one. But if he's the main problem right now, then okay, we're doing all right.
Yeah, I'm with you there. So the Blues on last Thursday, a week ago today, got crushed by the Columbus Blue Jackets at home. That was an embarrassment to the point where, we started discussing how quickly would Mike Yeo be fired if this trend continues. Then they turned around on Saturday and did the same thing to the Blackhawks that was done to them on Thursday, winning 7-3, and had your boy Barbashev get a few shots in on Seabrook. That was a big deal. Now they have 5 games left on this homestand. What do you think, to take a big step forward here, their record needs to be when they go back on the road out against the Blackhawks on November 14th?
First off, this scheduling is so stupid.
It is.
You got two twice now. We have a four day stretch where there's no game.
When you don't need it early in the season.
So stupid. And now we already played Chicago 3 times at home. We don't play them anymore at home. We don't play them anymore at home, especially at the end of the year. That is so dumb.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think they need to – not only do they need to win 3 games, but they need to trend again in the right direction. And they need to clean up stupid mistakes on defense, which they have last game. But we're putting the puck in the net, man. Like, we're finding ways to score goals. And I like the way that fourth line played a little bit when there wasn't a million different penalties. They got rolling a little bit, and you could tell they had some great offensive zone back-to-back shifts that were nice. But I don't think Barbie's going to be in the lineup tomorrow, dude. And it's bugging me. We're going to be talking about that on my show.
Interesting. I hate that.
Yeah, I know.
Because when you got the balls to step up and do that at the end of the game when you don't need to and your team's winning, I think you should get rewarded for that.
Totally. And not just that. You've been playing great, man. Mm-hmm. You've been blocking shots. Look, you're playing with balls. And you know, so I guess they're putting Rob Thomas in the middle. They're going to put Sundqvist on the right, and they're going to put Robbie Fabry on the left.
But Sundqvist over Barbashev, though? Come on.
No, I wanted to keep Sundqvist in the lineup. I wanted to take Rob Thomas back out. What do you need to play him tomorrow for? I mean, you really don't. So I would have put Barbie in the middle or even Sundy in the middle and kind of mix those guys around. But I don't know. I just it's tough to sit a guy that's probably been your most consistent player besides, you know, Ryan O'Reilly and,
sure,
and Sanford. He really has been, and he found a way to play great minutes with limited ice, and he was huge on the penalty kill, and he's playing physical, and he stepped up and fought. It's like, whoa, you reward those guys, TJ. You know how it is.
Mm-hmm. So the best player on this team, it is very clear, it is Ryan O'Reilly. I don't think it's close. I know you really like Alex Pietrangelo. I know Vladimir Tarasenko has a reputation of scoring a lot of goals. I don't think either one of them are on the tier that Ryan O'Reilly is. So we've discussed this over the last couple of years. Is it common at all? I don't. You tell me. I don't know the history of this. How weird would it be for Ryan O'Reilly to be your captain next year?
I would say it'd have to be like a mutual decision where Petro's like, okay, give me the A back. I feel like there's a little bit too much pressure. I don't think I did. And this is a speculation on what maybe Petro. This is how Petro would, I guess, would play this for him to be stripped of a C. It would be a big, big deal in the city. I've seen it personally happen to Patrick Elliott.
Really?
I think I've seen it happen to maybe another guy too. I can't remember. But Patty's, it just didn't work. And he's a great leader and he leads on the ice, but he just didn't have it in the dressing room.
Yeah, and Cam, it's not so much, it's not just that he's the best player, but I think he's your leader out there too. That's that thing. And I think Braden Schenn is your second best leader out there.
Yeah, it's hard to argue that, man. I mean, honestly, it's hard to argue that. Now, you got to take into consideration too that this is the worst stretch out for Trangelo's had ever in his career. So, you know, this is the worst it's probably going to get. So let's give it a little time and see where we're at with it. But, dude, you're absolutely right with Ryan O'Reilly. He is our superstar in this town.
Yes.
And I heard today, man, that line with Zach Sanford and David Perron are staying after practice, doing their thing, gelling, working on their chemistry, working on plays here and there. Those guys are all, you know, they got two veterans on that line, and, of course, Sanford's there. But just little things like that, dude, it just goes a long way.
Huge
and
deal.
And the way he plays on the ice in all three zones is just, he is our absolute superstar right now. And until something drastic happens, I don't know how anything's going to stop him from being that, because the way he plays, man, he just plays balls out and hard, and he's got the skill set, and he's got the mindset to really take games over.
Yeah, I wonder if there's any reluctance from Schenn and O'Reilly to jump into that leadership role without a letter. Because you got to buy a bunch of guys out there. There is no way in hell that Vladimir Tarasenko deserves to have an A on his chest. There's just not a chance in hell. And I don't think that Petro should have the C, but I wouldn't mind him having an A. And I think you got a lot of letters on the wrong guys, and I don't know how tough it is for guys without letters to jump out there and try to take over.
It's not tough. I mean, Steiner's got an A. He's a leader of that team, man. Whether you like it or not, Steiner's an absolute leader in that locker room.
Mm-hmm.
He runs a show. He orchestrates different things. It's hard to have a captain on a guy that's new. He doesn't know the city. He's got, you know, just being a captain is not just what you say. Like, you're hosting events. You're bringing the guys over. You're doing this. You're doing that. Like, it's a lot.
Sure.
The reason why, so it's again, it's not the way you play and not really what you're saying. It's so much more than that. So take a guy that's brand new like that to the city. It's just hard to throw that at him. Let's, like, let Ryan O'Reilly get comfortable first before we throw all this on him. Because what if we give him the C, and all of a sudden it's too much pressure for him.
Yeah,
now he's
no, that's a good
to,
point.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah, so just let this play out. Let's figure out where Petro's at. If he doesn't want to have the C next year, then we'll deal with it. We got a lot of guys in that locker room. But if he does, he's like, no, I got to take this thing over, and he starts playing great again, then no one's going to be complaining about it.
Yeah, I don't even – I'm not necessarily saying that he should be stripped of the C. I think it would be, he would be better for him. I think he's better. Does the A stand for assistant or alternate? What is it?
Whatever. Okay. Doesn't matter.
All right. Yeah. So I just think he's better in that role. I think he's like he's a good co-pilot. He shouldn't necessarily be the top guy. I thought Braden Schenn was that guy last year. But to your point, Schenn's first year in town, that's a lot of pressure. Most people, and I thought you did a good job explaining it, have no idea what being a captain holistically entails. That's obviously a very big deal. Cam, we got about 1 minute before you have the Cam Jansen show 6 or 7 at night that everybody should be listening to. What do we need to know going in tomorrow night?
Well, they're a big, strong team. Ryan Reeves is back in town. Patty Maroon's going to have a tough time standing in front of the net because they actually have a guy on the defense that's big and strong, and that Derek England. They're a fast team that they're still trying to figure their game out this year. But again, Ryan Reeves is going to come back in town, man, and you know what he's all about. You know what he's going to do. So guys going to have to be prepared. They're going to have to keep their damn head up, and we're going to have to keep going the way we're going, how we played, and keep funneling pucks through the net. And they're letting a lot of things go by as far as their structure is concerned, Vegas. So if we keep playing the way they're playing and then roll 4 lines, we're going to be just fine. But just keep your head up when 75's on the ice. And we all know that, right?
No, you better. Good stuff, Cam. Thank you. Don't forget that Cam Jansen show is from 6 to 7 p.m. tonight. Don't miss it. I will be listening. Cam, thanks. I will see you tomorrow. We're going to be at Maggie O's.
Cool, buddy. See you, dude.
All right, buddy. See ya. That was Cam Jansen, former Blues enforcer, and a guy that gives us a lot of good insight on the team. Once again, do not miss his show. We got to roll. David Solomon, thank you. John Hadley, thanks a lot. It was really fun today. In fact, at least we still got to make fun of you on the text line. Maggio's tomorrow. Do not forget, we will be there downtown. Have a good night, everybody.